Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passing, and I
Amen. God bless you all. Welcome to the Blog Talk Hour. Amen. Welcome to Every Word. I'm Apostle Marcus Dupree and with Prophet Selena Dupree. We thank God for each and every one tonight as we coming back for part two of While You Wait. Amen. We had a great time last week on that message, and we just definitely want to embrace the Spirit of the Lord and we allow Him to take us back in for part two tonight. And we just pray that you'll be blessed by what you hear, receive tonight. And we pray that if there's any questions upon your heart, that it be answers, that you would just be touched by the Spirit of the Lord, and that it will encourage you to truly wait while you stand, while you're in the place of expectation. Amen. So before we go any further, I just want to make mention for those who are calling, welcome on the line. If you desire to speak or need prayer or have a prayer request, press 1. For those who are listening to my computer or any other device and you want to call in, the number is 347-945-5416. Press 1 to speak. So as we get ready to get into the word, let's go to a word of prayer, and then we will go forth from that point. Bless the Lord. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. We give you praise, give you glory and honor. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And we thank you, Lord God, as you show your faith. Show us your presence tonight, Lord God. Reveal yourself to us, Lord God. Thank you for your word coming forth tonight as we are blessed by you, Lord God. And we thank you for the engrafting of the word upon our hearts, even as we hear to receive in Jesus' name. Thank you for your presence, Lord God. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank you for the liberty tonight to freely speak the word of God. And we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity as we embrace it. Lord, we do not hold back. But we choose to pour out, choose to go forth, choose to allow you surrender with full surrender to do what you desire to do in Jesus' name. So thank you that no weapon formed against us should prosper, but every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it now in Jesus' name. We bring it to end. So Father, we thank you right now for divine presence, oh God, tonight. Lead us, guide us in all truth, oh God, as we trust you, lean and depend on you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, truth to your word. Lord, thank you, Lord God, that your word never fails. You say heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will stand forever. And we thank you tonight as we receive your word. We know that your word will not spoil. And we thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that you've given to us to live and be free. So, Father, whomever is set free is free indeed. And but also, Lord God, we thank you that your presence, Lord God, your touch in our lives make that kind of a difference. So, Lord, thank you, Lord God, for blessing, Lord, the service tonight. And, Lord God, let answers be given to those hearts that desire, who has a question. And we thank you, Lord God, that each and every one has been touched and will be touched by this word tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, oh God, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Once again, we're talking about while we wait, while you wait, amen. And so, We are truly blessed to be in position to go forth in the word tonight. Amen. And as we get ready to go forth, we truly want to allow the Lord to speak to us and really give his direction. Because there's things that are going to be revealed tonight that we may need to hear for our future purpose, you know, our future as we go forward. It could be this week. We don't know what we're going to encounter this week, but we just pray for a word that's going to help you, to encourage you, even on this week. Amen. And so I am in place of expectation with God that whatever needs to come forth shall come forth. Amen. And so I thank God for what he's going to do in advance, and we thank God for how he's going to move tonight strategically in each one of our lives who hear or listen to tonight. And for those who may hear the recording at a later time, we just pray that you'll be blessed tonight. All right, so let's go to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 1. Now, I will be reading out of two versions tonight. I'll be using the King James Version, but also I will be using the NLT version, New Living Translation. So I'm going to read the first from the King James because most people have a King James. So I'm going to really start with that one first, and then I'll go to the other one, the NLT version. I will stand upon my watch and set myself on the rampart in which to see what he shall say, he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and not lie. It will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will surely come, excuse me. It will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Okay? Amen. Now we go back to the NLT versions, and here we say, I will climb up to my watchtower and stand at my guard post. There I will wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. Then the Lord said to me, write the vision. Write my answer plainly on tablets, so that a runner can carry the correct message to others. The vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow to coming, wait patiently for it. For it will surely take place. It will not delay. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Amen. All right. So we're talking about tonight, while you wait. And when let's look at the definition of wait, or a few definitions of wait. Wait means to stay in a place until an expected event happens, until someone arrives, until it is your turn to do something. So it says to stay in place until an expected event happens, until someone arrives, until it is your turn to do something. Okay. Another one is to not do something until something else happens. To not do something till something else happens. Okay, let me read a few more. To remain in a state in which you expect or hope that something will happen soon. That's very important. Amen. So, last one says, to stay in place in expectation to stay in the place, to remain in a state in which you expect or hope that something will remain, will happen soon. All right, so here we have a good example of what it means to wait. And wait, there's one of the secrets to waiting is timing. Timing is everything in waiting. Time is everything in our waiting. Because at the appointed time, at the right time, is then time to go forth. It's then time for the next action, in the right time, even in the right season, you bring forth fruit. It's fruitful. Now, when the time is not right, then that's where your waiting could be in vain, or you, in the midst of your waiting, you miss opportunities, or some things are prematurely happens, or some things don't happen. Some things are aborted. Some things are cut off. Some things are initiated ahead of time too soon. So that's why when it comes to waiting, it is very crucial with timing. Time with waiting, timing is like a first cousin. Wait and time works together when it comes to waiting. And we have to be conscious of that. We have to be patient with that. We are currently on a 21-day fast, and we're on day 11, about to be going to day 12. And my wife and I, and so it's been a challenge, because first of all, I've never done 21 days. I mean, as far as absolute fast, just water. So this is totally a different journey for me. So, I had a day that I did mess up. I crashed and burned like a plane in a drop of the air. But then after that point, I was able to pick up. That was after the third day. After that, I was able to pick back up and keep on going. And so since that time, I've done well. So all glory go to God because it ain't me. So I say all that to say this, that 21 days is a waiting period. Because no matter how good each day is, there's still days coming behind that. And I have to wait for the 21 days, and I have to be patient. I have to be in expectation because of the end. Because in the end, will come forth where I basically will, when we do this, of course we make we share our heart to God about whatever it is that we're standing, believing God to do, or we have a desire. Also, now some of us, I don't really have a whole bunch of things I put on like a list of expecting God to do, because I just want to be, just want to be closer, want to be in His presence. I just want to be blessed, just want to be able to experience doing, as far as being in His presence stronger. I want to start my year off different. I want to do some things differently this year. I want to be more sensitive to His voice. So my relationship with Him, I want an enhancement of my relationship with Him this year. That's my biggest concern. Everything else will work itself out. Everything else will fall in place. But my biggest thing is I just want to be closer to Him. That's all I want. I just want to be in a closer place with Him. I want to hear. I want to walk with Him. I want to do, it's all about Him. So, but in that is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of me doing something I've never done and not eating, look, some of us, we just love to eat. And I'm one. I have no problem eating. And so, of course, now in the midst of me, waiting, there's going to be all kind of challenges, all kinds of temptations going to come, but I have to, remain strong and keep my eyes focused on victory, on the prize, on Him. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 12, but in the midst of this whole thing, I really had to remember why I'm doing this. The purpose of me even agreeing with God to go through this process, to go through this waiting time, to go through this sacrificial time. It's a sacrifice. There's nothing easy about it. But at the same time, it costs. But even in the cost, there's going to be a reward. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So because I have a desire to seek Him, because I have a desire to know Him, He's going to reward my efforts. He's going to reward my stand. Does it have to be perfect or you know, if it ain't perfect, you know, it's not going to be blessed. Well, God knows the heart. And he knows the effort that we put in. He sees that. He knows that. We can't hide that. So because he knows that, he sees that, that's why the Bible says, give and do everything as unto the Lord. And so me doing this is not for myself, per se, but I do as unto him. And this is why the commitment is stronger than it's ever been this time to do it. Because I want to please God. I want to do what he would have me to do. So I realize if I don't make my stand, if I don't hold my ground, you know, my commitment won't be made. Even though I feel living in myself, the weight of the challenge and everything is real. But at the same time, I know that this challenge, it won't last always. It's not going to last always. So I'm going to stay encouraged and go forward and keep doing. So even as I encourage you, you know, there's some things that you want to do this year. There's a thing you want to accomplish. Don't be afraid. Go for it. Even if you fall, get back up. Get back in the race. Get back in the ring and finish it out. See, the blessing is not in starting and then quitting. You can have a great start, but if you quit, there's no reward in that. But the thing is, Christ Jesus says, after he did all he did, even on the cross, he said, it is finished. So see, the blessing is in the finish. And so sometimes we have to really dig deep to finish because it's not easy. It's not easy. But if we want what God has for us, we have to press beyond the test. We have to press beyond the test. And that's what this is a test. You know, the test, you know, our love, our commitment to God, how much we want of him. So I'm encouraged to stand. I'm encouraged to wait. Tonight we had, you know, as far as preparing dinner for the kids, and that food was smelling. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm just like, God, ooh. I'm like, Lord, you got to hold me because right now that thing is smelling so good. But my wife said, she said, remember why you're doing this. Remember, you know, it's a reminder. So as I go back to the scripture, amen, just want to say that's why he said write the vision. You know, the writing the vision is helpful because sometimes we need to see what we're standing for. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what we're fighting for. Sometimes we need his word just to help us to hold together. And so we don't become undone. It's very easy to come undone under pressure if we want to just take an easy way out. But if you look in the stand, it's really going to cost you to stand. There's a price tag on standing, and we have to be willing to pay that price. We have to be willing to endure. But yet there is a reward. There's a serious reward when you talk about standing for God against all odds. I remember a post I did some weeks back talking about the biggest things to overcome as a believer is pride, fear, and ourselves. Because if we can get past the pride, we can get past the fear, overcome fear, and then most of all, we have to overcome ourselves. Because we can be our own worst enemy and our biggest enemy. It's not even the devil. So we have to be able to hold on and hold out, stand strong, even against ourselves. The enemy within me, I have to overcome him. And the reason why I say the enemy within me is because this flesh is a mess. This flesh want to do what it want to do. This flesh is the one that wants to have its way. And so because of that, we have to fight that much harder sometimes to overcome this flesh. But through fasting and praying and waiting on God, we break the stronghold. We put our flesh under subjection under the Spirit of God. And now we're telling our flesh, you can't, you're not going to rule nothing. My stomach will not be my God. So, amen. Just wanted to share that part there because it's very important for us to understand that, you know, we have to have this flesh under subjection. Okay? So, as we go forth, he says, I will climb upon the watchtower, upon my watchtower and stand at my guard post. Here he's talking about being in position. Understand, when you're waiting on God, it is number one important for you to make sure you're waiting in the right position. You're positioned to wait. And when you're in position to wait, this means your posture or your place in God, you are in a good place or you're in a place to where you position yourself for success. Okay, if you are dealing with alcohol or whatever it is, nicotine, you don't want to set yourself up in a place to where that stuff is just constantly going on. You have to really be ready for that. And sometimes, some cases, you might be. You know, not necessarily that you try to be like that or whatever. You just might be in a situation to where you are in the place where all this stuff is. And you have to be strong to overcome it. So even with that, God knows, God is with you, and God cares. So you have to dig deeper than yourself, deeper than your flesh, deeper than what you are commonly used to, but you have to go to a deeper place in God and trust him, that place of deep trust in God, and allow him to strengthen you, to empower you to stand so you can make the best effort that you can make for it and go forth and get the best results. And sometimes, no matter which way you stand, it's not going to be easy. It's just not going to be easy at all. So we have to, in our mind, just know that we're going to be challenged. Listen, warfare, whenever you do anything for God, understand, you are going to be challenged. The enemy will not sit there and just watch you walk into victory. He's not going to do that. You're going to be challenged. So don't be so surprised when he, you know, confronts you or faces you with challenges and trying to knock the life out. Don't be surprised, but yet don't be afraid either. This is why we have to have the whole armor of God. When you have on the whole armor of God, you can withstand. Matter of fact, I'm gonna go straight to the scripture right quick, amen. Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to kind of go right to the main point of it and get in and get out. Verse 10. He said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. So right here lets us know our strength is not going to come in our waiting. Catch this in your spirit. Number two, the first point was we have to be positioned to wait. While we be positioned to wait, you know, we have to be in position to wait, and so in order for us to have success or succeed. The next thing is here we see, he says, be strong in the Lord. Make sure that you're pulling from your strength in the Lord and not depending on your flesh. We can't depend on our flesh. We have to pull from the Spirit, trusting God. As you are waiting on God to perform, as you're expecting God to perform, you know that God is going to perform. You cannot put your trust in this flesh. This flesh will set you up for fall. Amen. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay? Put on the whole armor of God. Number three, you got to be dressed. While you're waiting, be prepared. Be prepared while you're waiting. Be dressed. You can't be naked without the armor and expect to be successful in waiting. Because there's some things we're going to be confronted with, okay? And that's number three. So be dressed. Be dressed and prepared, okay? That you may be able to stand against the wiles or trick schemes of the devil. Devil. Amen. You have to be able to stand or withstand the attacks, withstand the attempts of the enemy trying to get you to fall, trying to get you come out of position of waiting. See, when you come out of position, let me share this with you. When you are in position of waiting, your heart is at a place of expectancy. Your mind, your will is at a place of expectancy. You're expecting God. Now, when you come out, when you are pulled out of the place of waiting or out of position, you go to worrying. You're not in a place of expectation, but now you exchange expectation to go into a place of worry, fear, anxiety. You have to be able to hold on to your position or your position in your waiting. When you hold on to your position in waiting, you will stay in faith. You will stay in expectation. You will be looking and expecting and even knowing God is going to come through in his due time, in your due season. See, God will come through in his due time, in your due season. Psalm 1 says that we will bear forth fruit in our season. So we have a season to bear forth fruit. So even when it comes to it, God will bring forth in that due time for us. So we have to be willing to stand and wait and endure. Amen. So as we go further, he says, stand against the wiles and trick schemes of the devil. So even with that, we have to be in wisdom. I think it was, so that was number three earlier. Four, you know, being armed, put on, be dressed, ready for battle, ready for armor. You know, have the armor on, be ready for battle. Okay, I think that was number three. Yes, number three, excuse me. Okay, so number four is, number 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Number four, while we're waiting, be watchful, be mindful of the enemy, or where he, you know, as far as what's going on, be careful, be mindful of your surroundings. So number four is being aware of your enemy. You keep your enemies, you keep your friends close, you keep your enemies close, but your friends closer or something like that goes. But bottom line is you have to be aware of your surroundings. Beware of what's going on. Beware of who's around you. Beware of who's in operation, what's in operation, what spirit is leading. So being in a place of discernment, being able to rightly discern the truth. This is why discernment is so key for us in your waiting. Discernment is precious, because you have to be able to identify and see what's going on, or even recognize the enemy when he approaches to try and pull you out of that place. So remember, if you're not in a place of waiting, you're not in a position of waiting or expectation, you're going to be in a place of worry, fret, fear, and all those things that you don't want to be in, because now you're prolonging your wait. Or and you might be actually cut some things off in your waiting, because you change your heart, you change your position, your posture. Where that's what we call changing our posture in God. When you change your posture in God, you're no longer expecting God from a place of expectation, but you're now worrying, you hoping. See, you go from faith to hope. My God, I hope y'all getting this tonight. You go from a place of faith, when you're expecting, in a place of expectation, not to a place of hope. You know, hope is not greater than faith. You've now digressed in your expectation. Okay, he goes on to say, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, this age, and against spiritual wickedness in high places, in heavenly places, excuse me. So we have to understand where our warfare is coming and recognize our enemy. And so when we get, when certain things happen, it's not so much people. It's not people. You know, of course, they're being used, but it's not necessarily them. The enemy's using whoever it makes itself usable, available, and willing. That's who he used. And sometimes some people just don't realize they're being used. So you can't let that stop you, or you can't go beat their head in. Maybe sometimes you feel like that, but you can't do that. Because once again, your battle is not with flesh and blood. You're not dealing with that person. You're dealing with the spirit that's using them. You're dealing with the works of the enemy who's trying to cause your world to cave in on you, cause you to just break down and snap. All right, so be aware of your surroundings and know thy enemy. Okay, number five says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, stand. In your waiting, you must have standability. That is a key. You have to be girded to stand, positioned to stand, trusting to stand, expecting to stand. You have to have standability. You got to be able to endure. You have to be able to ride out the storm. You have to be able to see and look past the storm that's before you. And hold on to that. Amen. You got to be able to hold on to God's word. You got to be able to see with your standability, what helps you is your faith. Your faith encourages you to stand and hold your position while you wait. You're not trying to do this. See, once again, you're not trying to do this of your flesh. He said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, not yours. But your standability, your supernatural standability or your supernatural stand comes from your standability of God, from God in his word. Your word is the word of God is what's going to fuel and strengthen your stand in God. So understand you're not doing this by yourself, but in him is your hope, your expectation, your strength, everything in him. It's not in you or your flesh or what you can do or people. Okay? All right, that's number five. Being able to hold the stand, standability. You got to be able to stand. Number six, okay? Stand therefore, having your loins, having girded your waist with truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And put on a breastplate of righteousness. In your waiting, be and stay in right standing with God. Righteousness is still right. You know, we can't go left but expect God to bless right. That's where I could put that. Righteousness in God. It is the pathway for God to bless you, the pathway of your blessings. So while you're waiting, righteousness helps you to bring forth or bring you to that place of receiving while you're waiting, help you take that place but help you to get to your place of destination from your waiting while you're waiting. So keep the stand, your stand right with God. So number five, so make sure you're standing right with God. Keep your standard with God. Amen. Right, we sure can. We cannot go left and expect to go right or for God to bless right or even for us to go right. So we have to make sure we stay in that place. Okay, as we go a little further, number six, amen. Then he said, in having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In your waiting, number six, hold on and hold your peace. Oh, my God, that's going to be a hard one. Hold on and hold to your peace. There's two different things. Hold on to your peace and hold your peace. We can drop the rock right there. Because, see, the thing is, you're going to have to hold on to your peace, not to go into fear, not to go into anxiety, not to fret, not to get discouraged, and you're waiting. But at the same time, you have to hold on to your peace that you don't begin to speak against your blessing. And Malachi chapter 3, passage where he talks about, you know, sowing a tithe and offering, he goes on to say, he told them to, matter of fact, I'm going to just go right there right quick. I don't want to misquote that, because that's a very key part to this thing. Your words, my God, your words, you got to be careful what you put out there. Malachi chapter 3. I'm going straight down to the main part. Okay. Verse 13, he says, okay, this is after he said all the, okay, let me go back one verse. Verse 12 says, all the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Okay, that's the blessing. God is moving. Then he goes and says, your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. You say, what have we spoken against you? Okay, the NLT version of that verse says, you said terrible things about me, says the Lord, but you say, what do you mean? What have we said against you? Verse 14 says, you have said, it is useless to serve God. Listen, that sounds like discouragement, depletion, and someone's tired of waiting because it won't come when they want. Let me tell you a little secret. A lot of times when it comes to waiting on God, we set ourselves up, because we got in our mind when we expect God to move, well, it should happen by 3 or 4, 6 months, and at that point, I should have that. But what if God say a year? Now you have to really dig deeper in your faith for you to endure that other 6 months longer than what you expect in God. Or what's going to happen is you will start speaking negative against God, saying, God, I thought you had my back. I thought you got me. I know you was going to come through. Now I got to go through this day longer. First of all, whose timetable are you operating on? You cannot work on your timetable with God. If you don't know how to trust God, you're going to start rebelling against God. So what's going to happen if you don't trust God in your waiting, you're going to start speaking against God in your rebelling. Because you're going to get tired of waiting, because from what you see, your perspective, from what you want, when you want it, and how you want it, God ain't moving fast enough. So now because you don't feel that God is moving fast enough, now you are getting discouraged and you're tired of waiting. Well, God, you know what? I'm going to help you out. Instead of me wait, I'm going to give me a loan. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So now we go and get ourselves in trouble. Once again, there was verse, I think that was number 6. Hold on to your peace and hold your peace. Don't let the enemy pull you out of faith or lure you or cause you to forsake your faith to go to hope, or to pull you out of that place to go into fear or anxiety, or being desperate, not even desperate for God. You're just desperate to get done what you want done. You cannot allow yourself to fall into the trap. When you allow yourself to get pulled out of that place of peace, you don't have no peace now. And listen, when you, the Bible, Isaiah 26, and I think 3 says, he will keep him a perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Get your mind right. Get back. Get your mind back in place with God. Go back to that place in God that you were once safe and secure in your peace. You know, go back to that spot. Get back in that place of peace and faith and knowing, okay, God, I'm willing to wait on you. And so prayerfully that, you know, if you're perfect, that you didn't speak against him, that you didn't set things back further, by speaking against. Because sometimes that's what happens too. Some of our seasons are not, it was not necessarily delayed. Well, some things we've spoken against and hindered our own seasons. And we've caused things to be pushed back. And some things we were literally canceled. So we have to be careful. Once again, in your waiting, in a 9-month pregnancy, there is the first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, child is born. Okay. But the most critical part of the critical trimester of a pregnancy is the first trimester. And this place is where miscarriages happen the most. Because if you do the wrong thing, things can happen. Eat the wrong thing, I guess it's not even drink, depends on what it is. You can set some things off and you can end up miscarrying the child. So even when, let's bring it to here where we are. So when you believe in God, stand and believe in God, everybody's so high, oh God, I'm gonna believe you, oh Lord, I'm good, I know you will come through. But listen, get past the honeymoon stage. You have to endure. You have to wait. You have to continue to trust. In that first trimester, the first length of time, whatever it may be, in that first time, the first 3 months of a pregnancy, but then in this case, this might be the first 6 months, first 3 years, 6 months of a year for you. Whatever that time is, and matter of fact, we can really legally say it for the whole time. Be careful what you entertain. Be careful what you say. Because even during those times too, you got the enemy will have people come along to speak against or try to convince you to forfeit what you have, in the sense of they cause you to start thinking twice about what you're waiting for God to do. The enemy will try to pull, try to disturb you, try to confuse you. Because see, Eve knew what Adam said, that God said. But she allowed the enemy to persuade her differently, to where she went against the right command and went and ate the fruit. Now, of course, in Adam, he was the one who buried it. He knew he had a conversation with God, and he went ahead and allowed the enemy, for any enemy's persuasion to his wife and through his wife, to also get him to pull him out of that place of righteousness as well. So we have to be careful in this time of waiting. We can't be naive. That first trimester, we have to be, as a matter of fact, like I said, the whole time, we have to be careful of what we say. We cannot talk against God, but yet expect God to bless us. That is not going to work. We can't talk about how God don't love you and God is he always comes through with them or Joel, but he don't never come bless me. And then you looking for God, Lord, where you at, Lord? Lord, where you at? But you just say, I don't come through for you. You said it with your own words. You don't even believe I'm going to come through for you. See, because we have to be careful, because if our words are not filled with faith, it's going to hurt us, not help us. Speak those things that be not as though they were. We can't stop speaking stuff that we see. This is why, Lord, my God, while you in the time of waiting, you have to be careful, once again, what you entertain, what you see, what you expose yourself to, those ear gates, eye gates, heart gates, your ear gates, eye gates. You have to be careful with those gates. Number eight, watch them gates. Let me throw that in there. We need to watch them gates. If we don't watch our gates, the blessing will escape. Because if we don't, if we'll be careful what we're saying, we're going to forfeit some things that God intended for us to have. My God. We're going to forfeit some things if we're not careful. Man. So, Let me try to bring you up to speed. 1 through 5 of 1 through 5. The first one was position. Position yourself to wait. Make sure you are in position to wait. Number two was to. Okay, hold on. Okay, before I finish that part, let me finish what I was doing here. Okay, he's talking about in Malachi. He said, your words are stout against me, or your words are harsh against me, saith the Lord. You say that, verse 14 says, you said it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So here is, they're losing hope. They're getting discouraged. Be careful for discouragement. It can come at any time. It's trying to discourage you because it didn't come in the time that you may expect it to or you wanted it to. See, sometimes we talk before the blessing. We tell people, and so then it's hard because now if it don't happen, now we're afraid of our face. We're afraid of our face being, exposed. So be careful with that. Okay, so, I'm going to go back to where I was previously. So number two was to be strong in the Lord and power of his might. Be strong in him, in his strength, through his strength. Rely on his strength, not yours. Be strong in him. Amen. And in verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Okay, number three, be armed. Make sure you're geared. Make sure you have, be prepared. Not only armed, but be prepared. This is a battle, okay? In waiting, in the time of waiting, you're going to have opposition comes. You're going to have possible discouragements, possible delays, certain things that's going to try and cause you to pull your faith out and begin to give up. You got to be armed. You got to be ready for battle. So keep your armor on. Be prepared. Okay, number three is be prepared. It says, put on your whole armor, God. He was saying against the wild devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Know thy enemy. Be aware of your surrounding, of who you're fighting. Be not only know your enemy, but be aware of your surroundings. What's going on around you at all times? Because the enemy will sometimes try to have things. You have people say things, do things to discourage you in your waiting. This is a war, man. You got to fight for this thing. Whatever you believe in God is worth fighting for. I love that song. That song ministered to me every song, every time I hear it. It was worth fighting for. By Courtney Brian Wilson. And that song ministered to me every single time because when he talks about your family is worth fighting for, your ministry, whatever, your life, whatever it is, it's worth fighting for. Your legacy is worth fighting for. This is why we have to fight. We have to listen. This is why we can't be punks in the kingdom, man. We can't be punks in the kingdom. We have to stand up and hold our ground and speak up and speak out. And sometimes you got to tell the devil, no, I'm not quitting. I'm going to stand. No, I'm not going to eat that piece of chicken with that red rice with a side of string bean. I will not eat that good-smelling food. You got to tell the enemy straight up, no, I'm not, because I'm not going to forfeit my blessing. If the blessing is worth fighting for. For what I'm going to get through this 21 days of fasting is going to be worth fighting for. What's going to break through after this 21 days of fasting is going to be worth fighting for. It's going to be worth standing for. It's going to be worth going through for. After you've overcome the victory, you look at the reward. It was worth fighting for. You got to fight. My God, you got to fight. It won't come easy. Matter of fact, if it come easy, I don't want it because it's a trap. It's a setup. Okay. All right. Let me bring it back down. Okay.
Whew. All right, number 13. Number four is, therefore, take on the whole armor of God. Be suited. Get your armor on. He says you'll be able to stand against the wild of the devil. Therefore, take and use the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand, in the evil day. And having done all, stand. You must have stand ability. Stand in your stand ability. Stand ability comes from you being fed or feeding yourself the word. Stand in a posture of waiting before God. Your stand. What's causing you to hold your ground, hold your place, not bend, not break. You're gonna be tried, you're gonna be tested. Okay? So he's a stand there for having girded your waist with truth, okay, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. I missed a little part here. That truth part. We cannot forget truth. Listen, y'all, don't lie to yourself. So I can kind of add this to that same one. Make sure you stay right and walk in righteousness, but also be truthful about your righteousness, truthful about your status, your stance, where you are. If you're struggling, stay struggling. Lord, I'm struggling, man. God, I need you to help me. Because if you don't, I'm trying to tell you, as I was going through, earlier today, I was cooking and stuff, and I'm like, oh my Lord, this is not going to work, God. I'm struggling. I'm looking at some of the food, I'm like, if I run right now, I can snatch that piece of chicken and run out the door. They're going to catch me. I mean, you know, all kind of crazy stuff running through your mind because you're trying to hold on. But at the same time, I had to laugh at myself. I was like, yeah. And you know what I said? I told Mom, I said, look, hey, babe, I mean, boy, this food is smelling real good here. I said, you got to probably scrap me down to this thing here, the table. You know, you got to probably scrap me down because I'm just like, whew. But at the same time, it helped me to, by putting it out there. And this is why you have to be truthful. Because when you put it out there, now you just disarm the enemy from his edge. When you be truthful, you just disarm the enemy from his edge. Now, if I was going to sit there and fight with that temptation and deal with that silently, now I'm thinking of all kind of mischievous ways to get that piece of chicken. But because I was open about it, because I was truthful about it, because I was confronted, I confront myself about it and spoke loud and cry loud and spare not. So now I take away the advantage that the enemy thought he had on me. Because why? I brought it up, and so now it made room for encouragement. And that's when she said, baby, remember what we're standing for. Remember what you're doing. And so that's why writing the vision and making the plan is so important. Because when you can write it down in those times of weakening or those times of you want to get discouraged and you want to give up, you need to be able to go back to be encouraged to run on. See, so that's what you have to do there. My God, that's what you have to do. Okay, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So, what I want to do, amen, I'm a come back, I'm going to address some questions in a few seconds, but I'm going to go back and finish up with this. I think I dealt with those. Was that all five? I think it was. Was that all the first five that we covered back again for? Let's see. I think that was. Okay, and in the thing number six. Okay, so yeah, that was a 5-9-6. Okay, so yeah. So remember that. So stand not in righteousness, and not only righteousness, but also truth in your stand, you know. You got to be truthful about where you are. And then the next one was, of course, the last one, stay in peace. The gospel of peace, talking about you holding on to your peace and you holding your peace. You know, so I just want to recap on those for those who needed that. Amen. So, all right, so going back to Rebecca, let's go ahead and wrap this up here so we can go get to the questions, your requests. Okay, then we have, so going back to verse 1, I was standing upon my watch and set myself on the rampart and watched to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain. See, you need to write your vision, what it is that you stand and believe in God for, you know, whatever it is, what you are expecting, what your expectation for, you know, whatever, you know, God, you want God to bring forth and do. And then he says, make it plain. So don't just shorthand it. Now, if you need to shorthand it, write down first when God gave it to you, go back and make it legible. Don't leave it shorthanded. Go back and make it legible. Write the whole thing out, and you know, so you can make it plain for yourself. And guess what? For those who else who may need to see and understand what you're fighting for, you know, amen. So then he goes on to say, make it plain on the tablets that he may run who reads it. And guess what? Most of the time, that's going to be you. You are going to be that one. Who will read it, because you're going to need, well, listen what he says. He says that he may run. He didn't say walk. He said run, because you know what? Because when you go to read it, you're going to basically be crawling there and almost in a place of discouragement, maybe kind of question some things, not feeling good about it. But when you go back and you read it, and you get this thing, and you begin to apply the word of God to build yourself up, you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord and say, you know what, God, you're going to do this. I'm not going to give up on you now, Lord. I'm not going to let this thing pull me from the place of faith and take me to hope or in discouragement. I'm not going to go into fear, doubt, unbelief. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to stay right here and fight, because it's worth fighting for. This vision is worth fighting for. This stand is worth fighting for. My victory is worth fighting for. I'm going to fight. Okay? Then he goes on to say, that he may run who reads it. So now they give you fuel for your fire to move and get back in position. Okay? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Once again, there's a timing. The timing in your waiting is so crucial. You have to be willing to wait. You know, you have to be willing to endure. You have to be willing to hold on while you're going through. Because, see, too early, too late, speaking or saying the wrong thing can abort it, miscarry it, cause you to be out of your timing, and the whole thing's done. So you're waiting and you're waiting. Timing is everything. And I can sincerely say this, God's timing is everything. God's timing is everything. For the point of time, but at the end, it will speak. That means it will come to pass. And it will not lie. It's not going to be half done, because when you wait on God, the word of God says, Hebrews chapter 6 says, you must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means be consistent in your faith, consistent in your believing, consistent in your standing, in your expectation, and guess what? He will come through. He will come through. He'll bring you through. Amen. Okay, and he goes on to say, and it will not lie, though it tarries, though it may seem as slow, it may seem slow sometimes, it may not seem that nothing's happening. Listen, you can't, don't get caught up on that. Sometimes when a storm is coming down here, we deal with hurricanes, it may seem like for a while, I don't see a hurricane coming. You don't look at that happen. But a few hours later, it'll be like, oh, boy, it's good and ready to go down. Because the whole sky, everything changes. See, See, when the rain is coming, when the blessing is coming, it starts off. It doesn't look like the blessing. If some of you are in a situation right now, glory to God, that you are in a situation right now, it doesn't look like the blessing. It doesn't look like it's working in your favor. It doesn't look like it's in your good. It doesn't look like you about to come through. As a matter of fact, it looks like you about to fall out. It looks like you just surrendered your best. It looks like you about to, man, you about to bankrupt on this thing. It looks like you're not going to win. That's why. That's why God said, don't look at the appearance. Don't we get caught up on. Listen, we walk by faith and not by sight. Even in your waiting, walk by faith and not by sight. Even in your standing, walk by faith and not by sight. Even in your expectation, in your waiting, walk by faith and not by sight. That's the word. We can't abandon those principles and expect God to bless us. Because things are going to look kind of funny. Things won't look like what you're expecting God to do. It won't look like that you're going to come out on top. But when you hold fast, when you hold on, and God will cause something to come through the back door that changes the whole situation, the whole game changer, to put you from the bottom down to the top, from the pit to the palace, from the worker to the owner. God will do it just like that. All right, go ahead, glory to God, hallelujah. He said, but because it will surely come, it will not tarry. And then the last one says, okay, can't remember what number this is. I think it's number 7, 8. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Let me go back one. The previous one should be verse 3, where it talks about the visions for yet for an appointed time. Remember, in the midst of your waiting, God's timing is key. Timing and God's timing is key. We must make sure we stay in our timing and let nothing pull us out of that place in our time. Make sure nothing pulls us out of that place. Make sure we stay locked in. Don't let anything pull you or someone else cause you to get to be going to fret or worrying, being scared or fearful. No, stay in your place of peace and watch the timing. The timing of God is going to bring everything into place. Okay, then in the last one, behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Your faith will be food for victory. Your faith will be food for victory. And where do you get your food? From the Bible, the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be fuel to your faith. It's going to be fuel to your faith, as faith is going to be fueled to you. Your faith has to be fueled by the Word of God. The last answer is your faith has to be fueled by the Word of God. This is what's going to cause you to go on. And even like in times of fasting, your faith is what's going to cause you to go on, to not be moved or tempted by the temptations that's going to come at you, because they're coming at you. But your waiting, in your expectation, in your expecting, your faith is going to be your food. In your waiting, your faith is going to be your food. You got to eat what God is giving to you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Your faith is your food. Don't give up. Stand firm. While you wait, remember, your food, your faith should be your food. So, amen. Those are those there. Amen. I was sent some questions right quick, a few little questions. If anyone's in your life. Yes, amen. That first question is as far as the enemy using that person to, yes, the enemy, of course, is using that person. He's using them to break your peace, cause you to surrender your peace. Whenever you lose your peace, that's when you begin to lose your balance. It throws you off because that's where you find yourself all across the place. You have to go back and reset yourself in the place of peace. Whenever someone's attacking you, I'm going to read that question aloud so everyone can hear. Because you know what? It may be a question that some of you are dealing with. Amen. He says, if you have a person in your life and the enemy uses them to attack you, be angry, verbally attack you, be angry at you, is this the enemy using that person? Yes, it is. Because the thing is, if he can discourage you while you are pursuing God and you're waiting, even as far as coming to your life to disturb you or pull you out of a place of peace, you know, with the verbal abuse, because what happens with verbal abuse, it can very easily cause you to be uneasy. It causes you to be shaken. And when you're shaken, it's hard for you to stand in faith when you're shaken, when you're disturbed in such a way. So, yes, the enemy will try and use it. Should we keep that person in our lives? No. And I should say this, too. And because of that, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that. And because they're not spiritually healthy for you, especially at that time. Now, maybe at a later time, you will be to a place where you can better deal with them. Maybe. But if God say, because sometimes God don't want you to go back to that. Don't want you to even deal with that. So sometimes you may have to really seek the Lord on, should I even allow them back in my life, period. So you really have to answer that question. But I would say, if someone who's been verbally abusing, you know, doing that, attacking you, angry, you know what? You don't need that in your life. You don't need that extra warfare in your life. That's going to bring nothing but heartache and headache and constantly trying to pull you out of your place in God. Think about it. If a person up in your face cussing you out, saying all kind of stuff long enough, sooner or later, if you're not careful, guess who will start cussing back? Guess who will start slapping back? You know what I'm saying? So if you allow it to linger, it's going to cause you to go into a deeper place that you don't want to go. So, yes, cut that tie. Amen. You were a question. Say you have a person that's nice sometimes. Amen. You have a person with a, amen, we have a customer, not a customer. Amen, go ahead, amen. Amen, go ahead and speak. Mm. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, amen. Come forward, amen.
Oh, amen. I thought I came out the box, I'm sorry. No problem. I believe you were speaking on a thing like we don't fight against flesh and blood. And sometimes, as the question you was reading, some people struggle with that. I know I'm one of them. When their relative, say it could be someone close to you, it could be a relative, and you struggle with it because you know that it's really not the person you're going against, is the spirit of the devil using them. And sometimes it's hard to disconnect, but as you mentioned with the previous question, you're right. Saying that those type of people, even though they could be just as sweet as pie, but you know, they can't control their anger, not good to keep them around.
Right. Yeah, I mean, and then too, of course, you know, with family, they're family.
No, it could be anybody. I was just giving an example.
Right,
it could be your spouse, your
child,
your family, anybody.
Yes, right. So whoever it is, you definitely want to learn. You want to position yourself to, I think, like even today, I was just listening with the kids, and one thing that we were saying about learn how to deal with stuff to where it does not pull you out of your place or causes you to get distracted out of what you have to do. So you have to find yourself in a way. Okay. You have to find a way to put yourself or position yourself to where the enemy cannot pull you out of your place of peace. So this comes with prayer and really get into it. Matter of fact, I would say you really have to hold on to the horns of the altar, because you really have to get into a place to where you know possibility what can happen. But even in the possibility, the reality of it is they're not moving me out of my place. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hard. It's a challenge. But that's part of where the fasting and praying comes in. You really have to go to a place of sacrifice of yourself, because if you allow your emotions and, you know, things to kind of be free to kind of deal with this here and carry this thing, it's going to weigh you down. It's going to wear you out. So you have to kind of position yourself to where, okay, I'm putting myself in a better place, a better stance. So as I stand, I'm believing God to move in the situation. But at the same time, if they decide to act up, you know, I'm not able to be moved. I'm going to look at them like, with them eyes like, that's all? Really? So you have to kind of position yourself to where you can have an advantage over the situation and not it have an advantage over you. So
No, I was just saying you can do that, but if the person still do that even after you do that, then it's best to disconnect.
Right. Well, right. But see, what I'm saying, there's some cases to where it may not be that easy. That's for those who are in a position who can't really disconnect that easy, that fast. That's what I'm saying that part for. Yeah, if there's someone in general that you can space yourself from, yes. Cut that tie, separate yourself. But when it comes to those people in our life that you may can't get, like for someone who have a spouse who's doing that, okay, you can't just get out of that situation that easy like that. So you have to find a way to deal with it to where you can still be in a good place with yourself and in God. So you have to, that's where that fasting, the praying comes in, because the Lord give you strength to endure and give you the right words to say, to also not only to endure, but to put out the fire. Because he might give you something to say that will cause them to kindle down and for them to really think about what they're doing or saying. So that's where everyone has to go. You have to go to the Lord about where you are in your situation and really allow him to give you an answer for your cause, for your situation. So as far as more so in depth, you know, we have a general look at it. But when you have a situation, like I said, when someone can't get away that easy, well, you have to definitely take a different approach.
So, amen.
All right. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for your coming on and participating with us. We appreciate that. Amen. Amen. If anyone else decided to have a question, comment, or you need prayer, amen, press 1 at this time and come on, and we're going to hear you out and help do whichever way we can. Amen. If there's anyone else. Amen. Come on. Amen. Come on in.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. How you doing?
Hi, this is Sister Denise. I'm fine. I enjoy the word. And my daughter and I was talking about that a little earlier, about writing down your vision and make it plain. And so it's confirmation to me. And then also, when you say you have to stay in position, it reminds me of the army, like when they be marching and they in unity with the leader. So it's important that, so he brought that to my attention also, that, you know, it's important for us to remember. You say you can't, if God tells you to go left but you going right, you have to line yourself up with the word.
Right.
So that's what he gave me, and I've been blessed. And the word, I just want to say that the word is, was blessed.
Thank you. Praise God. We give God glory for that. And thank God that it blessed you. Amen. And that you, even as you may listen to it again, that you get more from it, because God is definitely want to pour it out. And there may be some things you didn't catch during this time. He'll bring some things, new things to you. I work on Paris Island, and this is where we make Marines. Amen. And I sit and watch them in awe. I'm looking at some of the training these guys go through. I'm like, Lord. Lord, Jesus, this is stuff, but it always brings me back to the word.
Yes,
we are in the process of being made by God. We're being made to be used, or even to be made in his image, but also to be used by him as well. So what it takes for us, this is why we have to be able to endure and waiting and persevere through our times of tribulations and everything, because those guys have 13 weeks of training. They come in as little boys. But after the 13 weeks of training, these guys are not ready to respond as men. Their stance is different. Their look is different. Their awareness is different because they have prepared to be a soldier, a warrior.
Amen.
So this is why, amen. So don't let me say this to y'all. Don't be discouraged because of your process. Some have gone through abuse. Some have gone through rape, all kind of different things you've gone through up to this point. Don't hold your head down. Hold your head up, because even in that, God allows some things to happen. But listen, God didn't do it, but God allowed it to happen. And you know what he's doing? He's bringing it out. Even those things that seem like the most dreadful stuff that you've been through, he's going to turn around for your good. Because
Amen.
Now you're able to minister and encourage someone who are going through or maybe facing a situation and feels like giving up. They feel like because of what they went through, they feel worthless. But because you as a witness, and this is why the strong go through sometimes the hardest things. And listen, the strong people are not always the ones who are bodybuilders. Hear what I'm saying. Some people look at some people, oh, this show is strong. Just like Samuel. He looked at Eliab, David's older brother, and said, surely the king stands before me. And God said, no, I have refused him. And that lets me know that not only God had considered him, but God said, no thanks, I don't want that. Because God saw his heart. His heart was, even though he had the physical stance of a king, but he didn't have a heart of the king of God.
Jesus. Amen.
So it's not always in the people that we always think are the chosen one. Oh man, they got it together, this and that. Don't be moved by that.
Right.
Those won't be the people that God used. Because not in that manner, because they may look strong from the outer appearance, but God knows their heart. And here's a person who looked kind of peewee slim, nothing going on, but they're the strongest thing on the camp because they have endured some serious fire.
Amen, amen.
So I
want
to encourage y'all.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead.
And also, what he was talking about, because I struggle with that, especially when I'm trying to fast, it seemed like, like the candy, I have trouble with the sweets and stuff. So, I understand that. You know, every time you're trying to fast, you're going to be tempted with, trying to get distracted. So I had to, but I'm going to still continue to do what I need to do. Like you said, you don't give up. Keep going.
Right, because even if you fall off and you eat a piece of candy, okay, guess what? No condemnation to them who are Christ Jesus. So don't stop beating yourself up. But also, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he does what? Get back up. So get back up again in the race.
Amen.
And see,
again,
the blessing is in the finish. Finish what you started. Even if it wasn't pretty, you now have a standard to shoot for the next time you do it. Because if you don't finish, there's no standard. You have nothing to measure it by the next time. Because you didn't complete it. So aim for completion, even if it's not pretty, even if it may not feel so holy, but just finish what you started. That way God can honor that because you didn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
At least you fought your way through. God can bless that. He can work with that. But if you quit, you ain't giving God nothing to work. He can't bless that because he don't bless quits, like that. So, but if you continue in that fight, and you finish strong, and you give God something to work with. Now God can say, now next time, watch how the difference is going to be this time versus the last time. And you can see the improvement. And let me say this here before I quit. Get out your way. My wife, she's the faster now. She did this 21 days last year. And I was like, oh, my God, nothing but water. She did this thing, and I was like, I started a few days, man. I crashed and burned like I fell off the Empire State Building. It was tragic. I messed up so bad. I said, oh, God, I was here whining, complaining. My stomach hurt. I can't do it. I mean, it was terrible. I was like, you know, oh, that piece of chicken, it's not good. I mean, really, it was terrible. So what I had to finally do this year, I said, you know what? And I made a post a few weeks ago that my weaknesses this year will be my strength. I'm determined to watch that happen because I'm not going to give the enemy areas and rooms where he can defeat me because he's already defeated. Why am I surrendering territory when he's already defeated? So I have to give my challenges, those areas of weaknesses, and give it to God so now God can help me to overcome it. So now those weak areas are now my strength. And that's what he did with the fasting right now off the top. I could not fast 3 days absolutely. Just water, I couldn't do that 3 days. I did it 3 days, and I had a mess up that fourth day. And that thing hurt me bad. I was just discouraged, this and that. But you know what? I said, no, this is not going to end like this. Someone told me, well, you can just pray and make sure that God wants you to do that. I said, there's no way you can tell me God would want me to do this because I had never done a three-day fast with just water. So I know if I did that for the 3 days, I broke my own record, then I know God wanted me to do this thing. It was evident that God was with me during that time. I allowed myself to get distracted and lost my focus. So now I'm gonna get back on it. I got back on it, and since then, praise God, he's been helping me day by day, one day at a time, going forward. So I encourage you, if you mess up, you fall down, get back up. Get back on the race. Get back on the horse and keep on going and finish what you started. Don't let the enemy steal your victory from you. Glory to God. All right, so amen. Is there anyone else at this time? Press 1 if you need to speak. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right. Well, if there's anyone else, if there's not anyone else, amen. We're going to get ready to close. So one last call. Is there anyone else who would like to have a request or desire to speak? Press 1. All right. Okay. Well, Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your word tonight. Thank you for what's been said, been done, and released in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing yourself strong. In the name of Jesus, oh God, and we thank you, Lord God, for what's been said and what's been received, oh God. Thank you for a blessed time in your presence, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for moving with your word tonight, and we are encouraged and we're looking at it with expectation to go forth. In our waiting, oh God, we thank you for helping us with standability, to be strengthened, so even by our faith is our food while we stand. So, Lord, thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, oh God, for you continue to keep us encouraged. We will not be discouraged. We will not be moved, oh God. But we're going to continue to press in faith, and we're going to see the expectation come to pass. So, Father, thank you for helping us tonight. And we bless you, Lord God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. It is done. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being with us this week. And we will be going forth to the next topic on next week. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Tell somebody. Reach out somebody. Share the post to some other people who may need to hear. Amen. We'll be back on 9 o'clock next Sunday night. I know we ran over time tonight, but we usually try to get done within an hour. But sometimes it just kind of happened like that. So praise God. We're going to go forth and be encouraged and let God be let God bless you. And we thank you for just coming on, hearing and receiving. And if you come to my page, I'll have the playback posted on my page, Marcus Dupree and Marcus D. Dupree. Amen. And you can grab forth and go back and listen to it again. If some of you know me, inbox me, and I can send it to you a little while, probably within an hour or so tonight. So anyway, God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. Thank you. Amen.